I was trying to respond to Derek's first speech in my first speech. I didn't quite get through, so I'm actually still behind and working on it toward the end of his first speech. In his first speech at this point, the point that I'm at, he says, do you repent of divorcing by getting another divorce? Basically, I have the title of the chart this way, which is saying the same thing. Derek's saying two wrongs, divorces don't make a right. Derek, I agree, two wrongs make a right, don't make a right. But in this case, terminating an unscriptural marriage is not a wrong, it is required. We looked at Mark 6, 17 and 18, right? John the Baptist, Herod had divorced his wife, according to secular history. Herodias had divorced Herod. Now Herod and Herodias are married. John said, it's not lawful for you to have her. They both committed the sin of divorce. Did repenting of that mean they were not to divorce from each other and stay together? That's what Derek said. No. Repentance there, you can tell. John said, it's not lawful for you to have her. Check that out, Mark 6, 17 and 18. Not lawful for you to have her. He's implying they needed to terminate that marriage. So repenting of this adulterous or incestual marriage, whichever way you look at it, means getting out of the marriage and seeking reconciliation with the original spouse. Suppose I stole a car for my son's 16th birthday and gave it to him. If I repented of that, is it going to be wrong for me not to steal? Should I not steal it back from my son and give it back to the rightful owner? Or should I take it from my son and give it back to the rightful owner? Is that the right thing to do? What if I did wrong by marrying a second wife? Still married to Carol, married a second wife, polygamy. Would it be a second wrong to repent and divorce the second wife? Or is that what I should do? Or is that a second wrong, Darius, to divorce her? What about two homosexuals who did wrong by getting married? Should they stay together because it's a sin to get a divorce? Let's look at Matthew 19:6 at the bottom of this chart. Therefore, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Here's the two things we learn from that. God joined together, man should not put it asunder. But what's the implication if two people together and God didn't join together? That there it would be a sin to put it asunder, or that they're supposed to put it asunder? Now, so it's only a sin to divorce when it's something that God has joined. A homosexual marriage, God didn't join. A polygamous marriage, God didn't join. So it's not a sin to put that marriage asunder. God expects you to put it asunder because God didn't join it. That's the implication there from Matthew 19:6. Don't put it asunder if God joined it. But if God didn't join it, now we're talking about in our situation, a second marriage after a divorce, if God didn't join it, then we should put it asunder. Here's that Mark 6, 17 and 18. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. So John says this marriage is not lawful. What do they need to do? Stay in it because they don't want to commit this another sin of divorce? They're repenting of divorcing their previous spouses, and now they need to repent so they don't need to do another divorce, so they should stay together. Is that what John is saying? When he says it's unlawful for you to have her, he's implying they need to terminate that marriage. Right? Because it's not a marriage that God joined. Am I right? Now let's think about this, what I said last time. We had this dispute going on in Mark 6. Herod and Herodias are married. John the Baptist confronts them. I suppose he knew his life might be on the line. It took a lot of courage, didn't it, Donnie? He says it's not lawful for you to have her. Herod and Herodias get mad, especially Herodias. And what, Donnie, does Herodias have them do? Chop his head off, John the Baptist. This is a dispute. John tells them the truth on divorce and remarriage. In their day that they need to terminate the marriage, Herodias has her head chopped off. Has his head chopped off. Guess what? I love Derek to death. He's great. He's a really good debater. He's a really great person. But he's taking the side of Herodias in this debate. Isn't he? John the Baptist says it's not lawful for you to have her. It's a second marriage. Derek is saying, no, it is lawful for them to stay together. So he's taking the side of Herodias in this debate, and Herodias had God's messenger, the forerunner to Jesus Christ, her head chopped off because of this dispute, and Derek is taking her side. He's saying it's lawful for two people who have been divorced to remarry when the divorce was not scriptural, that it's lawful to stay together. And John said the exact opposite of that. John is saying exactly what I'm saying in the debate tonight, and John lost his head. He is taking Herodias' side. Let's talk more about this idea that if you get a divorce, you don't repent of that by getting another divorce. You're committing adultery. Jesus said, whoever divorces their spouse and marries another commits adultery. So you're committing adultery in that spouse. How are you going to repent of that adultery? By continuing to commit it? That's what Jesus said. In that second marriage, you're committing adultery. He's saying, no, you can't get a divorce. You're going to continue to commit that adultery? How does one repent of not fulfilling the obligation he has to his original spouse? Suppose I divorced Carol for incompatibility, now I'm married to Betty. How do I repent of that? Aren't I supposed to repent of this fact that I'm not fulfilling my obligations to Carol? Here are some obligations. Husbands are commanded to love their wives. So I'm not loving Carol anymore. Like I ought to, I've divorced her and I'm married to Betty. How do I repent of that? I need to start loving Carol again. That means going back to her. Wives are commanded to love their husbands. So if she's left me, she needs to come back. Sexual responsibilities are commanded between husband and wife. And if I've divorced my wife and married a baby, I'm not fulfilling the sexual responsibilities for my first and original wife. I need to repent of that and go back to that. Wives commanded to submit to and be obedient to their husbands. And I've got the references for all those right there. If she's left me, divorced me, for incompatibility and married another man, she's not submitting to me anymore. Husbands are commanded to dwell with their wives. If I've divorced her and married a baby, I'm not obeying the command to dwell with Carol. How do I repent of all that? I need to go back to Carol, start dwelling with her. She's to start submitting to me, fulfilling sexual responsibilities back to each other. She's commanded to love me, and I'm commanded to love her. That's going to take me leading Betty and going back to the first. That's why repentance demands that I do that. He says, Pat, what you're teaching is not repentance, but asceticism, meaning it's just doing things to hurt yourself to try to please God. Let's talk more about repentance. Matthew 3:8, bring forth therefore fruits made for repentance. If a person becoming a Christian is a kidnapper, he's got to repent. What does he need to do? Can he keep on committing that sin of kidnapping? Can he keep all the children that he's kidnapped? What about a polygamist? Married to two women at once. Can he keep all four of his wives? What does repentance demand? That he quits kidnapping people. That he gets rid of that second wife. Derek, would you agree? If a polygamist, a man has two wives, that he's got to repent of that by getting rid of his second wife? Or is that committing the sin of divorce by divorcing that second wife? Committing the second sin of divorce by divorcing that second wife. Do y'all see the point? He said, hey, if you divorce Carol and marry again, repentance means you don't divorce Betty, the second wife, because that would be committing divorce again. Don't do that. No, what if you're married to two wives at once? Is it a sin to divorce that second wife? Of course not. It's only a sin to divorce a companion that God joined together. He didn't join you, he expects you to get out of it. Homosexual. Is it a repent? Is it a sin to repent by getting out of that homosexual relationship? Because divorce is a sin? What about pornography? Can a pornographer repent and still keep looking at his Playboy magazine? If not, why? How can it be true that a man can divorce his wife, marry Betty, the second wife? Jesus says it's adultery. How can repentance not mean that he has to quit committing the adultery? He can repent and keep on committing adultery? He can repent of kidnapping and keep all the kids that he's stolen? He can be in a homosexual marriage and repent and stay in the marriage? He can be in two marriages at once and repent and stay with both wives? He can look at pornography and repent of that and keep looking at pornography? If he can't do any of those things, why can he continue to commit adultery with the second wife, Betty, and still call it repentance? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. He's taking the side of Herodias in this debate. I love you guys, but everybody knows that he is. These verses are not ambiguous. They're crystal clear. Everybody knows what they're teaching. Now, we're going to have to stand for the truth on this issue and every issue if you want to go to heaven. You cannot continue to uphold adulterers. 95% of churches out here are upholding adulterers, according to statistics. People are in those marriages, second or third marriages, that are called adultery by Jesus Christ. And in those churches, 95%, that means on average 20% of the membership is in a marriage that Jesus calls adultery. You cannot continue to bid Godspeed to that, because if you do, you become a partaker in their evil deeds. 2 John 10:11. You need to think about that. Here's Matthew 19:9, my proposition last night. It's in the middle there. The Bible teaches if a man divorces his scriptural wife for any reason other than fornication and marries another, he commits adultery. Compare that to Matthew 19:9. Whoever puts away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, commits adultery. I don't see any difference. Do you? I don't see any difference. Why must such marriages be ended? Well, why did Herod and Herodias need to end their marriage, according to John the Baptist? Because it was a sinful, adulterous marriage. They'd been married before. They got divorces. Now they're married to somebody else. But they're still bound or obligated to their first spouse. Now to say, and that's why people today need to do it. They're in an unlawful marriage. If I divorce Carol for burning the biscuits and married Betty, first of all, that marriage to Betty is an unlawful marriage. It needs to be terminated for the same reason John the Baptist was saying that Herod and Herodias' marriage needed to be terminated. Number two, they need to be reconciled to their original spouse. Because of what we said a while ago, you have all these responsibilities to that original spouse that you're neglecting. The last one there, I'm running out of time. Because each time I have marital relations with that second wife, Betty, Jesus calls it adultery. Now, what does adultery mean? Adulterer denotes one who has unlawful intercourse with the spouse of another. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Adultery is something you do in the bed. We all know that, don't we? We already knew that. We've known it all our lives that adultery is something you do in the bed. And Jesus said, if I divorce my wife for any reason other than fornication, marry another, I'm committing adultery. How do I repent of that? I have to get out of bed with that woman, don't I? I can't say, God, I'm sorry for this adultery, but oh, by the way, I plan to get in bed with her every weekend for the rest of my life because I'm married to her. That's not repenting of adultery. That's saying to God, I'm refusing to commit adultery. I plan on continuing to stay in it. Must homosexual marriages be terminated? Gay marriages, I think, are now legal in all 50 states. And two men who are married to each other repent and stay in the marriage? Of course not. Derek agrees with me they can't. And we have the passages there to prove it. So why do gay marriages have to be terminated, but not adulterous marriages? I mean, if you can repent of adultery and keep on committing adultery, why can't you repent of homosexuality and keep on committing homosexuality? What about polygamous marriages? Polygamous marriages used to be legal in the United States back in the early 1800s. They still are in some countries. Suppose a Christian in Utah in 1800, when polygamy was still legal, became a polygamist. He took on a second wife in Utah. It was legal in Utah at that time. He was already married, first marriage, scripturally married. He takes on a second wife. He wants to repent. Oh, I thought, according to Derek, that would be a divorce if he got rid of the second wife. He has to divorce her, right? No, that would be a sin, according to Derek, to divorce his second wife and just then be monogamous with the first one, wouldn't it? Because divorce is wrong? No. Remember, when Matthew 19:6 says, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Divorcing an unscriptural marriage like a homosexual one or a polygamous one, God's not saying that you can't put those asunder. He demands that you put those asunder. Everybody here knows that man in Utah takes that second wife and he wants to repent. He's going to have to get out of that marriage with the second wife. He cannot continue to commit adultery with her. Every time he sleeps with that second wife, he's committing adultery. Derek would agree with me. He can't continue the adultery. Repentance means he gets out of that second marriage. Why is it, you know, polygamous marriages and the kind of marriages that we're talking about in the Bible in Matthew 19:9 are in effect the same thing? They're both wrong because the person is married, bound to one, obligated to one, and married to another. Why are polygamous adulterous marriages? Why, when you have to repent of them, you have to get out of them, but not Matthew 19:9 type adulterous marriages? They're both adultery for the same reason. You're bound to one and you're married to another. So they're both adultery for the exact same reason. Why do you have to get out of that polygamous marriage? But on a Matthew 19:9 type marriage, when Jesus calls that adultery, the same as a polygamous marriage, repentance means you stay in that one. I haven't figured it out. As I say, both polygamous marriages and marriages that violate Matthew 19:9, meaning divorce and remarriages, they both involve being bound to one while being married to another. And then Derek's second speech. He said it's not good for a man to be alone. You know, he's right. It's not good for a man to be married alone. It's not good for a man to be alone. So what should you do? Stay with the wife that you've committed to till death do us part, and then you won't be alone. Right? He's not saying it's not good for a man to be alone with somebody else's wife. Right? I can get with somebody else's wife to keep from being alone. That's not what God's saying. He's saying, it's good for not man to be alone. Adam, you be with Eve. Y'all see the point? 1 Corinthians 7:2. Derek said, Oh, I see, Marie. To avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, let every woman have her own husband. So according to him, that justifies me, after I'm divorced from Carol, I now need to have another wife to avoid fornication. I can do it. But that says for me to have my own wife, not somebody else's wife. Right? That's what Derek's saying. To avoid fornication, you can have somebody else's wife. No, I'm saying to avoid fornication, have your own wife. The wife, your original wife, not somebody else's wife. Not somebody who's already been, that belongs to somebody else. Pat says, and we talked about this extensively last night, God does not recognize the second marriage. Here's why it's adultery for a man to put away his wife and marry another. If he doesn't do it for fornication. Romans 7, 2 and 3. The woman's half and husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if her husband be dead, she's loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's free from that law so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. If I'm married to Carol and I divorce her for incompatibility, I'm still bound or obligated to her as long as she lives. So if I marry somebody else, I'm violating that. God, in this case, if you look at it, did God recognize that woman? She's bound to the first husband, but married to the second. Did he recognize that marriage to the second? Yes, in the sense that he recognized it as an adulterous marriage. He knows it happened. He saw it happen. And he recognized it, not in the sense that he approves of it. He recognized it and he says, she's married to another man. And he recognizes it as being an adulterous marriage. Just like when a murder happens. Does God recognize it? Yeah, he knows that it happened. He recognizes it as a sin. He knows that it happened. If I divorce Carol and marry another, does he recognize the second marriage? Derek says, he recognizes it, therefore it's okay. No, he recognizes it as being wrong. He recognizes it as being sinful. We're running out of time here. In 1 Corinthians 7:15,
It talks about if the unbeliever deserts you, you're not in the bondage.
He said, well, that means you could remarry. Let's compare that to Luke 16:18. I don't have it on the chart right now. Turn and look in your Bible at Luke 16:18. Here's what it says. Jesus is speaking. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. And whoso married her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. Now here's the scenario. The man deserts his wife. He puts her away, divorced. He marries another. Now, if 1 Corinthians 7:15 says if somebody deserts you, you can remarry, then that woman ought to be able to remarry. Remember, look at Luke 16:19, the first part of the verse. The man deserts his wife. Not only that, he remarries. He's committing adultery. He deserts her. According to his logic, Derek's logic of 1 Corinthians 7:15, she ought to be able to remarry because she's been deserted. But what does the last part of the verse say? Whoever marries her that is put away, deserted. If we want to use that terminology as Derek did. Whoever's been deserted from her husband committed adultery. Keep your Bible open there. And go to, but look at that as we look at 1 Corinthians 7, 27 and 28. Because that was one of the next arguments. 1 Corinthians 7, 27 and 28 says this. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loose. Art thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. He says, well, if you've been loose, you can marry. Well, that's talking about somebody who's not bound. Somebody who's loose. Not all the divorced people out there. You know how I know that? Because in Luke 16:18, that says that woman cannot remarry in the second part of the verse. She's been put away against her wishes, we might say. She cannot remarry. This verse says the loose person can remarry. So the unscripturally divorced person must not be loosed, because the unscripturally divorced person, it says they commit adultery in Luke 16:18 if they remarry. Whereas in 1 Corinthians 7:27-28, it says the loose person, not the unscripturally divorced, the loose person may remarry. Two different animals there. Thank you for your time.